This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This roster that Ryan's already built, it is stocked. It's loaded. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterback. And Caleb, I'm excited to work with you. But it's going to take more than just you.
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select.
And now it's time for Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Live in Chicago just after 6 o'clock, Judson Richards with you all the way until 9 o'clock this evening, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have a loaded show for you ahead. No Bulls, they are off tonight. No Cubs, they are also off today. So we're going to take you all the way till 9 o'clock. Matt Verderam covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated. He'll join us coming up at 6:30. Mike Farron, look forward to talking to him. I know a lot of you out there recognize his voice with MLB Radio. He'll join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Will Gottlieb will talk Bulls with us coming up at 8 o'clock. The phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. By the way, coming up in just about 10 minutes, I have it right here. I have the Kyle Tucker contract. It's right here because I wrote it down on this piece of paper. Kyle Tucker and the Cubs, what's the contract that would work for both of them? Honestly, is there a deal that you think that Kyle Tucker and his agency would go, well, now we may need to talk about this? I think I have the figures for you. I'll give you that coming up in just about 10 minutes. But we are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, what I believe is ultimately one of the best sports days of the year. I bet a lot of you out there would agree with me. Can we hear their jingle, Robbie? They have like the best jingle. When you hear this, I mean, is there a better sound out there, like non-game related? Is there a better sound out there that you can hear as a sports fan? I love the NFL draft for a couple of reasons. Not only do I find it to be one of the best sports days of the year, I look at it a little bit as it's the college football award show, right? And you don't get a trophy. You get a hearty contract. But the award show very much is, who do we decide or who do we recognize as the best quarterback coming out of the draft? Who is the best non-quarterback coming out of the draft? Who goes first? Who's the best left tackle, right? Who's the best edge rusher? You know, my old man used to love award shows. I mean, the Oscars, the Golden Globes, he just couldn't get enough of them. And me, his son, usually had to hear about said award show. And one time I asked him, I said, Dad, what do you love so much about award shows? And he says, what's not to love about someone reaching their dream? And that always stuck with me. And so I see the draft through that lens. And so I look forward to the College Football Award Show coming up in 2 weeks. I know the Score will have the best coverage right here in Chicago. So 2 weeks away, that's just round one. And then we'll go rounds 1 through 7 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I also love it because we finally get the payoff, right? We finally get the payoff of months and months of speculation, of debate. I think we know who's going to go number one overall with Cam Ward. And then really, it can be somewhat of a mystery. Like, Is it? I think it may be, most likely, Abdul Carter over Travis Hunter. But Travis Hunter's a two-way player who can be exceptional at both if he were to just focus on one. But a team may try to use him as both, right? What happens with Shedeur Sanders? Is he number three overall? Because this is a big one for the Bears. Does Shedeur go number three overall, which ultimately he may not be the best player overall at that position, but we know the need at quarterback, right? Do the Giants take him at number three, or does he fall in the draft, which could ultimately affect the Bears? Does Ashton Jeanty actually go number six to the Raiders, or could he be there at number 10 for the Bears? And so here's what we'll ask you at 312-644-6767. What do you hope the Bears do? And also, what do you ultimately hope that they don't do, right? Is there something where you're like, do not consider at all doing that? Now, I feel like we've had a little bit of a shift on how we feel about the running back position, right? I kind of feel like Saquon Barkley has shook us a little bit after watching the importance of running the football. So what is your hopes and what is your hope not for the draft for the Bears coming up in 2 weeks? 312-644-6767. Now, here is what I ultimately hope to see. Because the Bears are the only NFL team that have three picks in the top 50. They have pick 10, and then they have two picks in the second round. Only team that has that kind of value. And I hope that Ryan Poles hands over that credit card and says, hey, Ben Johnson, you go on that shopping spree. These first three picks, they are all yours. And I'll be honest, I hope Ben Johnson uses all of them on the offensive side of the ball. If he wants to go running back, tackle, tackle, do it. If he wants to go tight end, tackle guard, do it. If he wants to trade up because he thinks so highly of Ashton Jeanty, then go ahead and do it. I want to see Ben Johnson ultimately get started on the offense that we want to see him build here in Chicago. Because you know what? We shouldn't sugarcoat it. Ben Johnson, along with Caleb Williams, has been hired to ultimately completely change the identity of the Bears organization. That's why you gave him the amount of money as a first-time head coach, right? This is why Ben Johnson was as sought after as he was for years. And this is why the Bears gave him the amount of money that they did. First three picks, pick number 10, pick number 39, pick number 41. Ben, go ahead. You do you. These are possibly immediate three starters with how you want to play it. You know, we talk so much in Chicago about the inability to marry head coach to quarterback. We can go down the line. John Fox to Matt Nagy to Matt Eberflus. Mitch Trubisky to Justin Fields to Caleb Williams. The inability to tie, to connect, to marry your head coach and your quarterback. Well, what about in 2025, you tie your head coach to this draft, specifically those first three picks, 10, 39, and 41. Consider yourself having immediately three starters on the offensive side of the ball to allow Ben Johnson to maybe not immediately create the offense that we saw in Detroit. I don't care what it looks like. I'm focused on the 33 points a game that Ben Johnson and the Lions have over those 3 years. That's what I want to see. Now, Jalen Johnson, as the team gathered for OTAs, Jalen Johnson was there to keep perhaps someone like me, my feet to the ground, as we try not to get over our skis in the offseason about how good this team could be.
That don't got nothing to do with me. The only thing that has anything to do with me is the work that I put in, the work that we put in as a unit, and just taking the steps in the right direction. Other than that, the talk, the hype and all that, I mean, hype don't win you no games. So, I mean, I've been here a minute, I've been through the hype, and we don't win no games. So, I mean, for me, if it's not about winning, quite honestly, I don't really care about it.
All right, so that was, some may call that a realistic approach. For me, it felt a little pessimistic, right? And Jalen Johnson's been through a lot. The last two 10-game losing streaks, I was watching them. Jalen Johnson was playing in them, all right? So it's going to cut a little bit deeper. But I'm not going to apologize for optimism, because Ben Johnson, he really ultimately, if you look at his career, He is a self-made man. I'll remind you. And this is why I say that the Bears should consider just allowing the first three picks. And if Ben Johnson wants to pass on all of them, thinks his defensive player is good enough, then fine, right? Not trying to force it. But I'm saying they should realistically consider allowing those first three picks, two picks in the second round, to go all to the offensive side of the ball. But we should, again, we should hold on to some optimism because of who Ben Johnson is, right? This is, you know, this isn't Kyle Shanahan, who obviously got his job because of his daddy. No, Kyle's pretty good. Or Sean McVay, whose grandfather worked in the NFL. No, Sean McVay is also pretty good. I'll remind you, Ben Johnson also scored more points average-wise than both of those guys, who were thought to be two of the brightest minds in all of the NFL. Ben Johnson started in Detroit as a quality controls coach. That's like half a step above an intern. He started as a quality control coach for Matt Patricia, if you remember that actually happened with the Detroit Lions. And then worked his way up as the passing game coordinator. And when Anthony Lynn, the OC, went 0-8 in 2021, Ben Johnson stepped in as the passing game coordinator mid-season and made that offense better. And then almost immediately under his tutelage, Ben Johnson created one of the best offenses in all of the NFL. So let's not forget that. Let's not forget that Ben Johnson did not go into a perfect situation in Detroit for a team that was known to be a perennial loser, which is now the team who's had their offensive defensive coordinator hired because of how great they now look there. So as much as Jalen Johnson, I think it is important we keep our feet to the ground somewhat, shape, or form. I think enough of Ben Johnson to say, hey, Ben, you want to build a great offense as fast as you can, may not be in 2025, perhaps it'll be in 2026. Those first three picks, they are yours. And by the way, I'm not forgetting about the defense. In fact, the Bears haven't forgotten about the defense for years. Three of the top four contracts for the Bears are on the defensive side of the ball. Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson, Tremaine Edmonds. The one offensive player is DJ Moore. If you look over what the Bears have done, including who they've added this offseason, that is not a neglected defense. But there's two things that I want out of this draft. I want improved time of possession for the offense, taking care of the ball. And then I want to see points per game go way freaking up. The Bears averaged 18 points a game last year. I believe that was fifth worst in the NFL. We all know what Ben Johnson has done. Lions offense averaged 33 points a game over the last 3 years. That is the best mark in the NFL. But also, when you talk about points per game, the last 10, or last year, the top 10 scoring teams, 9 of those 10 made the playoffs. The one that didn't, the Cincinnati Bengals, because they couldn't stop anybody on defense. But they also were scoring 27 points a game. 9 of the top 10 scoring offenses last year in the NFL made it to the playoffs. So let's get the points going up. Let's get the time of possession going up, because if you improve in time of possession, probably means you can run the ball well, and that takes a lot off of Caleb Williams. And I think that the Bears ultimately should hand it over and allow Ben Johnson to be uber aggressive on the offense that he wants to build. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Aaron on I-294, who's with us on the Score. Aaron, what's going on?
Man, how you guys doing today? Here's my 2 cents, and it's just if hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'm sorry, I thought I lost you. Here's my 2 cents, man. If they do anything other than take an offensive defensive lineman with that first pick, then it's an utter failure to me. I don't care about anything after that, but we all know they still need offensive line help. They've been needing it, and they got a chance to address those issues. Take it. Can't score 32 points if you can't block. You guys have a great day.
Aaron, thanks for the call. So, now Aaron says go offensive or defensive line. I'm with him, except for the defensive part. I think, ultimately, the Bears this draft, invest in your investment. And your investment is the offensive mind of Ben Johnson. I know we're wondering, hey, is he going to be a leader? Hey, can he handle being a head coach? All the other things that come with it. Ben Johnson is here to absolutely change the identity of the Bears organization. And that is one that, number one, hasn't been able to build a quarterback. And number two, has had an offense that's been stuck in the past. If Ben Johnson is here to build a modern-day offense, which if you look at points per game, you can directly attribute it to getting to the playoffs, then let's not mess around. Let's get aggressive in the draft. Let Ben Johnson do that and get these points per game going up. 312-644-6767. All right. I promised I would, I have the contract here. Probably not legally binding, but I have an idea of what I think would actually make Kyle Tucker and his agency consider a contract from the Cubs. Before we do that, Lance Brozdowski with Marquee Sports Network on the Cubs Daily Podcast actually called his agency. I think this is great. And they gave him a figure of what it would take to sign Kyle Tucker.
I actually spoke to somebody today at Excel Sports Management, which is Tucker's agency, and I made them give me an estimate for Tucker's eventual contract, whether it be in free agency or an in-season extension. And the number they gave was 10 years, $475 million. Sure, it's a biased source within his agency. Of course, they're going to promote him, absolutely. But I thought it was actually somewhat reasonable. And I think it's a good over-under for what he eventually will receive. Now, when you get three or four other big market teams in there, which I think Excel would be very inclined to do instead of letting the Cubs bid against themselves with an extension, that number could obviously move up. But I think that kind of money is what Tom Ricketts and the Cubs front office should be thinking about if they want to compete with the other large market teams on Kyle Tucker.
Lance, who is like seems about the nicest guy in the world, said, I called their agency and made them give me, Kyle's like, or Lance is like, you can't see what I'm holding to the phone right now, but I need you to give me a figure.
Why don't all fans just do that? No, Lance is definitely more tied in. Why does every fan just call every agent? Hey, how much money does it take? Oh, okay, cool.
I called them and I made them give me a contract offer, at least what they would be looking for. Now, I find that to be incredibly high. Maybe not too, well, I find the years to be too high. Because let's not forget, Kyle Tucker is going to turn 29, I believe in January. But he's playing through age 28 right now. So here's the figure that I have that I think would legitimately make, what is it, Excel management team, make them consider the Cubs offer. Couple things to keep in mind. Number one, you've got a looming lockout after next season that I think is very, very real. And let's not forget, 2 years ago, Scott Boras had a really difficult time getting four big clients signed. So the market is somewhat strange. Some guys are underpaid, and then you have the monster deals. So my number between Cubs and Kyle Tucker, 8 years, $360 million, that's $45 million AAV, and I will give you, Kyle Tucker, an opt-out after 3 years. Now, let's talk about the 45 mil. That would be third highest AAV in all of Major League Baseball. The only two players that would have a higher AAV, annual average value, Juan Soto, who signed a 15-year, who is playing in his age 26 season, $765 million deal. He's making $51 million a year. And then the absurdity of Shohei Ohtani making $70 million a year. So I've got an opt-out after 3 years for Kyle. I'm making him the third highest paid player at $45 million a year. And it's an eight-year deal. And he needs to recognize he is not Vlad Guerrero's age. He definitely is not Juan Soto's age with his numbers. So he's turning age 29. I think that's a pretty fair deal. Would he sign it? Probably not. I lean towards there's no way Kyle Tucker just doesn't allow for a bidding war. But as I mentioned, a couple things to consider. And you are seeing some players sign deals right now, right? Like contract extensions aren't just this impossibility to get guys to do it in season and not wait to get to free agency. They're much younger, but I think 8 years, $360 million, $45 million AAV for a 29-year-old next year is a pretty damn good deal. 312-644-6767. Gary's listening on the Odyssey app. Gary, what do you think? Is that a good deal?
Actually, you know, I actually think it is. You're going down the path I was looking at. I went and looked at the top 25 salaries the other day, and so when you brought this topic up, I just had to call in. Because you look at the top 25 salaries in Major League Baseball, and I know no one's shocked by this because we live in Chicago. There's not one Cub on that list. That's crazy, right? You know, the Dodgers have five, the Yankees have three, the Phillies have three, the Mets have three, but there's nobody from the Cubs. So I was actually thinking you probably have to go 10 years, and I came up with 10 years and $400 million because I think he wants the higher years. I mean, you look at Soto, obviously the Cubs aren't doing 15, but that takes him to age 41, and this 10-year contract with Tucker would take him to age 39. So I think they're somewhat equitable, but I don't think you have to get up to the $45 million. But if you do, I think you have to go shorter years, like you said, to do that. But I wouldn't do, you know, 10 years at $450 million. But 10 years, $400 million sounds right to me. And with all the young Cubs players coming up, you're buying somebody who's not only a good player, not only a solid citizen, but somebody who's a good clubhouse guy.
Gary, thanks for the call. The $40 million a year, the 10 to 40, is very similar to Aaron Judge's contract. Aaron Judge signed a 9-year deal worth $40 million a year. And I would ask the question, does Kyle Tucker deserve that kind of a contract, right? There's one thing that we're working through here a little bit. I feel like we're emotionally spending, right? Every time Kyle Tucker gets a hit, my Twitter timeline is loaded with extension, extension, extension. Like, I kind of feel like there's a lot of Cubs fans be like, give him the Juan Soto deal. And it's like, you realize you're going to be handcuffed in some capacity, right? Like, we all want to spend Ricketts money absurdly. But if you do it realistically and actually think about the team side of it as well, 10-year, $40 million a year for a 29-year-old, he's 28 now, 29 years old when this contract would start, that does not feel like it's favorable for the team. 312-644-6767. Text us, too. Do you have a contract you think both Kyle Tucker and the Cubs would actually come to agreement on? We'll be discussing that. But up next, could the Bears have a surprise pick up their sleeve at number 10? We'll ask one NFL insider next. You're listening to The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we'll be trying to go for the best player that we can get. You know, the holes that we filled through free agency and all of that. I think now is, you know, the time through the draft where you get to go and draft guys, the best players, and then get guys to be able to develop them.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And of course, the voice of Caleb Williams. I got to tell you, it feels a little bit like the Bears have had the number one overall pick 2 years in a row. Got Caleb last year, and then they got really the best head coach off the board for my money in Ben Johnson. Just 2 weeks away from that NFL draft. What will the Bears do at number 10? Let's talk about it. Joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Sports Illustrated NFL insider Matt Verderam. Download the Circa app today. Matt, thanks for joining us this evening. Let's begin here. So we're getting closer to that draft day. What player storyline intrigues you the most now just 2 weeks out?
I think it's Shedeur Sanders. Now, I was down at the owners' meetings last week down in Palm Beach, and I talked to a lot of people, whether you're talking personnel men, coaches, and there is no consensus. You know, I think most people think Cam Ward's going to go number one. I think most people feel like Jackson Dart's like a borderline first-round pick, might end up in the second, might be a late first. But Sanders is a guy, some people sit there and tell you they think he's going to Cleveland at two. Some people think he's going to go somewhere else in the top ten, like the Giants or the Saints, maybe even the Jets. But then there are people who will sit there and tell you they think he's a second-round pick that'll be a late first-round choice because someone will take him. I tend to think he's going to go top half of the first round. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. He's a quarterback. He's got talent. But there is a real thought in some people's minds in the NFL that, look, he's a guy who could slide. And if he does, that's going to become the storyline of the draft.
Yeah, it certainly will be, and it'll affect who the Bears get at number 10 when it comes to, you know, perhaps the value play. Where do you think Shedeur goes? My personal opinion, I root for him. I like him, right? Like, the way that he's handled himself doesn't bother me at all. I think he's confident, perhaps arrogant, which isn't a problem at all. If anything, to me, his throwing motion looks like he's playing catch. It's a little bit like, hey, we got to get this going a little bit. The ball needs to come out quicker, right? He's got a nice throwing delivery, but it looks kind of leisurely for an NFL game.
You know, I think with him, a lot of his success or failure in the NFL is going to be where does he go?
Sure.
And, you know, who gets their hands on him? I think that is so underrated with a lot of these guys. Yeah, sure, there's every once in a blue moon you get a guy who's just so talented that it maybe doesn't matter all that much. You know, but, you know, look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen struggled until Brian Daboll got hold of him, and then things changed. And he's the MVP of the league. So I do think that matters. I think with Sanders, you know, I'd love to see him go to the Giants. I just mentioned Brian Daboll. I think Brian Daboll would be great for Shedeur Sanders. I think Kellen Moore would be good for Shedeur Sanders. I worry more about a team like the Jets, who have a first-year defensive-minded head coach, a team that is not well-run. We'll see if Darren Mokey and Glenn can change that, but that's from the top down. The Browns, look, they're the Browns. They've been the Browns now for what feels like forever, 30 years running. I like Kevin Stefanski, but is Kevin Stefanski even going to be there another year from now? So, I think Sanders, if you're just rooting for the kid to succeed, I think the Giants would be a great spot for him.
We're talking to Sports Illustrated NFL insider Matt Verderam on 6-7 The Score. So, Matt, the Bears are the only team to have three picks in the first 50. I made the case in the open for the Bears to allow Ben Johnson to have those first three picks to lean into why they hired him. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's an interesting point. I think it's a good point. Look, if you look at Chicago's roster, completely remade the interior of the offensive line. I think you get your quarterback. Obviously, they certainly believe they're the quarterback right now. You've got weapons on the outside. You've got Cole Kmet. So I think if you're going on the offensive side, in my opinion, it's pretty clearly going to be either you're taking one of these kids to tackle and you're okay with the lack of arm length with some of these guys like a Will Campbell, or you take a real big swing at running back and say, you know what? You know, Detroit has that Sonic and Knuckles tandem, and we saw what Ben Johnson could do with them. What about Ashton Jeanty in Chicago at 10? I mean, that's – you could argue maybe value-wise, there are better picks out there. But I would say that with Ben Johnson's offense, that might be a guy who he could turn into a superstar. And then on the other side of the coin, defensively, look, you know, do they add one more edge rusher? They did a lot up front in free agency. Do they add a corner? You know, if in number 10, if Will Johnson's there, they say, hey, you know, we'll pair him with Jalen Johnson, and now we're really rolling. You know, in the second round, there's going to be a lot of depth at positions. Like, I think there will be some corners. I think there will be some edge rushers, a guy like Nick Scourden out of Texas A&M, who a lot of people thought going into the year was going to be a first-round pick. So, look, I would like to see Chicago add just some dynamism to the roster, both in the backfield offensively and in the secondary, to go with guys like Brisker and Johnson.
Give me that word again.
Something to do with being dynamic.
Okay.
Dynamism. Let's hope that's right. I wasn't an English major.
No, that's fine. Listen, we're speaking NFL draft, right? We need high motors and dynasticisms. Is what we need. Matt, do you actually think Genty could be there at 10?
Yeah, I think he could be. I think it's probably a coin flip, because if you look at it, I don't think he's going in the top five. I think that's too high. I think it's too early. I don't think a team like New England's going to take him at four. I don't think Jacksonville's way too many needs. I think Mason Graham makes a lot of sense at five. You get to the Raiders. Now, the Raiders have needs all over the place. I could argue, yeah, sure, Genty to the Raiders. I just think that they've got bigger needs. Now, you know, the Jets, they've got Breece Hall, you know, at least one more year. They've kind of talked about going by committee. That gets you to 8. You know, I don't think that Carolina takes him. They've hovered. They have other needs. And then you have the Saints. Would the Saints take him? Maybe. Kellen Moore just watched Saquon Barkley rush for 2,000 yards. Maybe. Kamara's older. But, yeah, I think there's a pretty good shot that he's there, unless somebody trades up to swoop in and get him, which, of course, is always a possibility.
You were just at the NFL owners' meetings. Do you get the sense that perhaps we're changing or maybe going back a little bit in how we felt about the running back position? Well, we've always felt good about the position. It feels a little bit like we've changed the way that we've felt about the players, right, specifically, and how much they're wanted. So, you know, I heard Todd McShay say he thought there could be 3 running backs that could go in the first round. What do you think the potential is of that?
Well, I think it's very, very possible. Like Hampton, I think will definitely go in the first round, probably around pick 20. Yeah, I think you could get maybe one of those Ohio State kids, like Travion Henderson, going in the first 32 picks. Yeah, it's certainly possible. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about this. I might even at some point write a bigger piece about this. Like, if you look at offensive linemen over the last, let's call it 15 years, they've consistently gotten a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. Right? Like, I'm 36 years old. When I started watching football in the 90s, if you were 300 pounds, that was a big deal. Guys
right
now are, you know, 320, 330, no problem all day long. Defensive linemen have gotten smaller. You have guys who are edge rushers who are 240 pounds. Used to be you were 270, 275. You're Bruce Smith, that bigger body, Reggie White type. You have D tackles now playing at 290, 285. Guys used to be 310, 315. And that's all because everybody on the defensive line has been like, look, we got to get lighter. We got to get faster. We got to get up the field, more athleticism. And I think what's happening now is a lot of these offensive-minded coaches, like Ben Johnson, looks at this and goes, we got 50 pounds, 60, 70 pounds on these guys up front. Let's just run them over. Why are we worried about running the ball? We can run for 5 yards a clip if we've got a good back and a good scheme. And I think a lot of teams are starting to look at it that way. And, of course, look, last year too, Barkley gets 3 and 39. I mean, Saquon Barkley got the same contract last year that Gabe Davis got. Who would you rather have?
Right.
Like, or Darnell Mooney got? So I think teams are looking at this. I mean, Derrick Henry got 2 years and $16 million. And when I had 1,900 yards rushing. So I think teams now, it's such a good value. Yeah, I think the pendulum's starting to swing the other way.
Yeah, I think the contracts, I think the years on the deal were different, but I do think Henry got the same amount of money as DeAndre Swift got here in Chicago, and we know the year that Henry had versus Swift. We're joined by NFL insider Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. Matt, let's talk about Will Campbell a little bit. I always love a good arm length discussion. What do you make of him? Any concerns there, or do you think that the Bears would jump at the chance to take him at 10?
I think he's got to be in strong consideration. Look, when you really break down the whole situation in terms of arm length and what matters and what doesn't, I spent a lot of my time down on Palm Beach talking to people on the record, off the record about this, coaches, former players. And a lot of the consensus is basically, listen, if you got a guy with 33-inch arms, that's the minimum, but it's passable. Anything 34 and above, teams are pretty safe and happy with that. Now, last year, there was, I believe, six tackles taken in the first 20 picks. At least five of them had 34-inch arms or more. I think Joe Walton almost had like 36-inch arms. This year, none of those guys that are projected or probable first-round picks have 34-inch arms. In fact, Campbell was under 33 inches at the combine. Then at the pro day, he measured exactly 33. Josh Simmons out of Ohio State, 33. I think, you know, people will tell you that if you don't have that arm length, then your punch has to be really good. Your get off at the line's got to be really good. Your footwork has to be excellent. Essentially, you're just removing margin for error.
Right.
But if the tape's good, the tape's good. I do think Campbell's still going to be a top 15 pick. So I think the Bears, you know, him along with Membo out of Mizzou, I think are two guys that are going to be top 10, top 15 picks. I think that their tape, those two specifically, is good enough that I think they warrant that selection. And I think, you know, in the end, look, if a guy's good, he's good. You may not have the margin for error. A guy has a 35-inch arms, but Campbell might also have better feet than a guy does with 35-inch arms, and that works itself out. So, yes, I think if you're the Bears and he's sitting there, you've got to have a conversation about whether you want that guy, because obviously tackle is the spot where they could upgrade.
Matt, really good discussion. Just 2 weeks away. Thanks for your time this evening. Appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
All right. Great stuff there from Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, covers the NFL. One of the things about when I asked the question in the open, what do you hope they do? What do you hope they don't do? There's still, I think, some stigma attached to the running back position. And is it worth a first round pick, right? Would it be the value that you want to give? Because one thing about the running back position, we know these guys get beaten up so badly that physically, by late 20s, most of them are vastly different. And if you're going to take a player in the first round, you probably want it to be a guy that you believe is not only going to get a second contract, but you know, you want him to be 10, 11, 12 years, right? If you're drafting a Chicago Bear, if you're drafting him to come here, you want to hope that that player not only makes it through his first contract, but is great in his second contract and help the next young players understand what it's like to be a veteran of the Bears, right? You hope that each pick is a hit. And if you don't sign a player for their second contract, it's probably not a hit. But then you have the running back position where it's like, even if, I mean, look at the Giants making a decision on Saquon Barkley. They didn't want to go all in because I'm sure they've changed their mind now, but you know how it physically changes. But the thing about taking a running back for the Bears, because we continue to hear this is a deep running back draft class, but it'll be interesting to see what the fall off may be through the first three guys to the next three guys, right? Is it a deep running back draft class, but three of them are much better than the other three? Because you have to feel a little bit like an investment in the running back position is an investment in Caleb Williams and that rocky year that he had last year. The better you run the ball, the better chance you give Caleb Williams in his second season in second and short and third and short, and you put him in a situation to succeed. If you can run the ball, your quarterback is operating from a position of power. Instead of asking Caleb Williams, hey, go out there, understand every route tree, understand everything that it takes to be great. We're going to put this on your shoulders. You're going to make it happen. I just get the sense Ben Johnson is going to build this team to try to rush 120 yards a game, right? To try to get a legitimate 20, 25, 30 carries and really run the ball. That's why I said time of possession matters. That means you have sustained drives. And scoring points also matters. I would not be shocked at all if they took a running back at number 10. And I would be shocked if they moved up. If they loved Ashton Jeanty and said, he is vastly better than any of these other running backs, I think that that position, even if he doesn't get to a second contract, let's say they franchise tag him for a year, whatever it may be, that is a real investment in allowing Caleb Williams to learn a little bit more in year two. Right? Gives you a chance to treat Caleb Williams to be a first-year guy instead of a second-year guy. Because, yes, he's a second-year guy, but damn it, did you watch what happened last year? I mean, what do you have, four different offensive coordinators? What part of last year makes you say, yeah, he's really going to understand the offense better this year? He'll have more experience playing in NFL games, but he's drastically changing what he's doing and being under center much more. So don't be shocked if they go running back at number 10. 312-644-6767. If you want to respond to that interview, we've got a couple calls. We will do that. The Bears, check that. The Cubs have also made a move to bolster their pitching staff. We'll tell you exactly what they did. Coming up next on The Score.
I do have a message here for the players. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable. We're going to revisit that Ian Rappaport clip. I found that very interesting. We'll do that in just a moment. Get to the phones, too. 312-644-6767. Did want to announce this. The Cubs have acquired left-handed pitcher Tom Cosgrove from the Padres for cash and option him to AAA. In a corresponding move, the Cubs have DFA'd right-handed pitcher Caleb Killian. So, you know, it's always interesting, these prospects that we talk so much about oftentimes are quietly DFA'd. And it's like, remember when we spent so much time talking about that guy? It's one of the reasons why you don't fall in love with prospects. But every once in a while, it does work out as well. We'll talk more about the Cubs, Justin Steele. If you missed it in the open, I laid out the contract that I think that Kyle Tucker and his team would actually have to take a look at and consider. We'll reset that coming up at 7 o'clock. Talking some Bears here at 312-644-6767. Brian's with us in Anderson Park. Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Hey, Judd, I'm enjoying the conversation.
Thank you, Brian.
My question is on the defensive side of the ball. Until the debacle in Washington last year, I thought that Tyreek Stevenson was showing pretty well until he made his horrible blunder. And my question is he just a talented player that's made a horrible mistake, or is he really an idiot? And my other question is, have the Bears given up on him completely?
Well, Brian, thanks for the call. I do not know him personally. The only people I would call idiots is if I know them really well, whether I like them or don't like them. I do not know him, so I would not call him that. But you're right. You know, Brian, people often say, like, you could teach a course around that. The 4-2 Bears winning a game until the last second in a Hail Mary that then sent you into a 10-game losing streak is pretty fascinating. You talk about just the mental fragility of an organization that completely collapsed. But quickly to your point, Brian, I've been talking a lot about Ben Johnson. I should mention the rest of the staff. The Bears have built a really great staff. And someone who knows a lot more than I do, Matt Bowen, who was great on the station today, Matt Bowen complimented the staff that the Bears have built, including Dennis Allen. So if you've seen good from Tyreek, keep believing in it. I think Tyreek can be a pretty good player. I also found this very interesting NFL insider Ian Rappaport a couple days ago on Ben Johnson getting Caleb Williams ready for the season, also what may happen during the season.
Caleb Williams said all the right things, and I think he has and will continue to do so. He wants Ben Johnson to challenge him, wants this offensive coaching staff to challenge him. It's going to be really hard. And I know he's ready. I know he thinks he's ready. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he truly understands what it's going to be like just to go from good. And Caleb Williams was good last year, certainly had his moments, kept the ball out of the hands of the opponents, kind of kept some drives moving, probably took too many sacks, got a little too beat up. So there was certainly some good there. But to be great, to be one of the actual greats, which his talent should allow him to do, Kyle, yep, it is going to be really miserable. And Ben Johnson has been incredibly successful in Detroit. Is he the most pleasant person to be around during the season? I don't think he is. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. And I don't even know if right now Caleb Williams understands, but like on a Monday night in November, it's going to suck.
Okay.
And if you want to be great, it has to suck. And so, yeah, like it's all smiles now. He's out there. He's looking cool. It's a lot of positivity. To get where they need to go, he has to embrace being absolutely and utterly miserable.
You know, that's one of those clips where you kind of go, what does he know? Right? What is the reputation about Ben Johnson? What does he know? Now, Carmen Vitale made an interesting comment about when Ben Johnson first really started work with Jared Goff, that they needed a go-between them. So how utterly miserable is it going to be? I'd like to say maybe Caleb Williams likes to be coached hard, like he said, and if there is winning involved, there shouldn't be a lot of misery. And if they have a great running game, then it shouldn't all rely on Caleb Williams and the quarterback anyways. But I think that Ian Rappaport clip tells you a lot about the Ben Johnson in the QB room out on the practice field. Because, you know, we kind of know the guy that arrived here and walked into the building, had no idea that like the sales staff was going to be up on the second floor, and he stands there, and he's got that great one-liner. Now get back to work, and everybody laughed, and we kind of, you know, it's like he's so charismatic, right? Because like Matt Eberflus was like really crappy vanilla ice cream. It's like it was so boring. And then there's Ben, who's like he's smart, but he's also charismatic, but he also tells his players that get comfortable being uncomfortable. But that Ian Rappaport report really does tell you he's going to coach him hard. But I also like to think Caleb Williams is up for the challenge. The only thing that worries me a little bit, if you think back to Hard Knocks, remember when Caleb was having his one-on-ones with Matt Eberflus? Jesus, that looked like a bad date. And Caleb was sitting there with his arms crossed, like he looked checked out. You know, he looked like he'd been up late night before and just was kind of sleepy. That'll be a problem. If that's the Caleb Williams that Ben Johnson gets, then I'm with Ian. But I like to think coached hard, plays well, winning games. If you win on Sunday, your Monday nights, as Ian said, should not be miserable. It should be, hey, let's get back to work. Let's do this. It should be, we scored 24 points. Let's get to 27. We scored 27. Let's get to 30. But if you think Ben Johnson is the charismatic guy who's standing there kind of holding court, yucking it up. I think he grinded those 33 points a game and would absolutely love that in Chicago. Coming up next, the Kyle Tucker deal that I think perhaps they may already be talking about now that I brought it up. Also, one stat you need to hear about the club's closer, and should there be a below 40 degree rule when it comes to starting pitching at Wrigley? That's next on The Score.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.